the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Hello, citizens of Earth. And if this is a rerun from 2 years from now, hello to all our fighting boys in the asteroid belt. Go give the Astro Kaiser hell. Because tonight there's big news about Space Force! Longtime viewers of the Trump administration will remember that Space Force is the president's boldest idea that he got from a Buzz Lightyear Happy Meal toy.
Ah, that's where it came from.
And now, citizens, to refresh your memory banks, we take you to Stardate March 13th, where Supreme Leader Trump addressed a confused planet.
My new national strategy for space recognizes that space is a war-fighting domain, just like the land, air, and sea. We may even have a space force. Develop another one.
Space the United
force.
States.
We have the Air Force. We'll have the Space Force. We'll go with the Space Force. Think of that. Space Force.
Yes. Think of that.
Think of that.
But not too hard, because it's stupid. We already have NASA.
We do.
We don't need Space Force. Please wait until NASA finds life before you try to kill it.
Good idea.
And today, Space Force got a boost from Vice President Mike Pence. Oh. No surprise. Pence is a huge fan of space. It is the farthest you can get from being alone with a human woman. Now, in a speech to the Defense Department, Pence outlined the mission that will take us to the stars.
President Trump proclaimed that the United States stands, in his words, at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space.
What a stirring call to something we're already doing. Yeah, since the 1960s. In fact, Pence's speech reminds me of JFK's immortal words.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but to distract from Robert Mueller. Witch hunt.
Yes. Powerful. So powerful. Then Pence laid out exactly the administration's plan, what they need to put it into action.
The second step this report calls for is the creation of an elite group of joint warfighters specializing in the domain of space, who will form the backbone of the nation's newest armed service, Space Operations Force.
No, no, no. It's called Space Force. Not Space Operations Force. Ah. If you name a thing that dumb, you have to stick with it.
There you go.
And go back a second. You said we need an elite group of joint warfighters? Jeff Sessions is already fighting the joint war. And whoever came up with the idea of Space Force lost the battle.
Okay.
Then, Pence led our nation in a traditional space prayer.
He did.
If you rise on the wings of the dawn,
oh
if you
God.
Settle on the far side of the sea,
God help
even
us
if you
all.
Go up to the heavens, even there, his hand will guide you. His right hand will hold you fast, and he will hold fast this great nation in the great beyond.
Hold on a second. Wait, you said his right hand will hold you fast, and he will hold fast this great nation and the great beyond? How many hands does God have?
Good question.
Wait, is Mike Pence worshiping Vishnu? Whoever asked Astro God is, it was a truly eloquent and spiritual benediction. Or as Trump put it, Space Force all the way. Space Force, you know I love it. Of course, I would join, but I have space spurs. I can't.
Yes, he does. He has space spurs. Oh, thank goodness for Stephen Colbert. I don't know how we'd get through the beginning of a show without him, because we need some laughs. Now, this week we've had some laughs from Samantha Bee and from Seth Meyers. And, I'm giving the TV comedians a little workout to try to start each day's show off with at least something we can giggle at, because the news is just so sad. It's just so sad. Although today we're going to end up the week, hopefully, with a few laughs, because Juliana Forlano will join us today. She's been out covering serious stuff for ACT TV, but Juliana Forlano is by profession a comedienne. So, she's just naturally funny. She's one of those people who can find the humor in really dire situations. So we'll talk to her about all the stuff that's going on. Before we get into what's news, I see somebody's calling in on the line. Hi, who's this from the 571 area code?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, I can barely hear you.
Hi, this is Ryan. How are you doing today?
There you are. Hi, Ryan. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm phenomenal. Thanks for asking. I love your show, and I like the fact that you're trying to put a positive spin on what we're going through. But, we are trying to have these moral victories as the political left, but I think we're coming up short as far as we need to understand that this battle that is going on is not about policy. It's not about, taxes and regulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a culture war.
Yeah.
And that culture war centers around a crayon caste system that's called white supremacy.
Yes, you're right.
I sat back and listened to Laura Ingraham's show last night. Did you hear the clip?
I heard the beginning. Yes, I went and listened to it. For those who don't know, in fact, I had this to come up later on, but let me play it for you now. This is what she did the night before last. She said this.
In some parts of the country, it does seem like the America that we know and love doesn't exist anymore. Massive demographic changes have been foisted upon the American people. And they're changes that none of us ever voted for and most of us don't like. From Virginia to California, we see stark examples of how radically, in some ways, the country has changed. Now, much of this is related to both illegal and, in some cases, legal immigration that, of course, progressives love.
So that's what she said. That's what kicked off this firestorm. I don't know what's controversial about it. Laura Ingraham is a racist, pure and simple.
Well, yes. I mean, Miss Ingraham is no different than the Sean Hannitys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Virginia. We're actually on a state of emergency because of what's going to happen here Saturday in Charlottesville,
which is
down 29th South, and in D.C., see, people have been asleep at the wheel, particularly the white population in this country. So, like all these things in the 60s, they have been gone already. This is nothing new to non-white populations. We've seen it coming with Obama. We've seen the rumblings under the surface take place. These are multi-million-dollar white men and women, but mostly men, who are making $100 million a year salaries, that are sitting in their cozy seats in these office suites, and they are peddling this stuff to the truck driver, to the utility worker, and they're pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, but they're not the one out there in the midst of it. They're not out there when, a young lady in my state got killed last year.
That's right.
They're not out there when that takes place.
Nope.
They're not out there when there's actual violence in the streets.
Oh yes,
they're stoking it,
and it's going
to
happen again.
Having to suffer it,
it's going
to
happen again this weekend. It's going to be, as you mentioned, in D.C. and in Charlottesville again. Our pal Shalel, who hangs out in the chat room at NicoleSandler.com, he just posted: Charlottesville is under martial law for 3 days, starting at 6 p.m. tonight. My friends have not recovered from last year's antics, and now some may lose their businesses. There are tanks and APCs everywhere. Wow.
Yes. And my mother's from Charlottesville, and I called my mother last night, and I said, Mom's like, look, man, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to Richmond.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Mom, let me ask you, have y'all on the job been talking about this? Yeah, it's been talked about. Most people don't like it. They say it's stupid. Doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Most African Americans in her community, they're in their older years, so they're not really like progressive minded, you know, anymore. Anyway, they're more like this. We have no dog in this fight.
Really?
But in reality, we are the dog in the fight.
Damn straight.
And I think that a lot of our older African American population is more complacent with white supremacy and have found coping mechanisms and how to deal with it.
Hmm.
And they're so stuck in those coping mechanisms that now they're just saying, oh, well, it's just a bunch of stupid people out there fighting. Let's move on. But they're not fighting just to be fighting. They're fighting to take you out.
Who's fighting to take you out? The white supremacists are.
Those radical groups, what you're dealing with is you're dealing with refined white supremacy and you're dealing with radical white supremacy.
Yeah.
You're dealing with both one that wants to stay, okay, racism exists, but it exists under the surface. The other saying, you know what, we're sick and damn tired of cleaning up our racism, making non-whites feel like, you know, the illusion that it doesn't exist. We want to now bring it to the surface. And now these people are like, uh-oh, you're ruining my business. We got to get these people back in the closet. And Laura Ingraham had just let out the cat out of the bag.
Mm-hmm.
She exposed what every political left-winger thinks about the right wing. People have been saying it all along. These voters don't care about taxes. They don't care about they don't care about these policies. Those are all umbrella terms they care about. Those are empty vessels. Their real motivation is an all-out culture war.
Yeah.
The culture of Leave It to Beaver.
Absolutely.
The culture of Lassie. They want that culture back.
Yeah, they
and
want
that
the 50s
never coming back.
No, and the 50s aren't coming back, just like coal mines aren't coming back. And steel mills aren't coming back. It's just, you know, time marches on. And now it's time, look, within the next 20 to 30 years, this country will be majority-minority. White people will not be the majority of the population in this country, and it's got some of them freaked out. The same people you saw, you know, with their tiki torches last year in Charlottesville, the same ones who will be out this weekend in D.C. and Charlottesville again. The difference is, I think, young people are getting engaged again. So what are your plans for this weekend, Ryan?
My plans for the weekend, my mother told me, you know, because last year I did go down there.
Did you?
And it was so much stuff that happened down there last year to a point where I don't think that the police and all those people were, from the news reports and what they were saying, back in the back end, that may have been true. But what I saw on that ground, these law enforcement officials were more sympathetic toward the white supremacists than they were toward the anti-white supremacists.
Yep.
And they were just letting fights just take place.
Yeah, no, the
one
cops.
One officer told me.
Yeah.
One officer looked me in the face and said, if you don't break it up, we will.
Wow.
Excuse my language, but why the fuck are you here?
Right, exactly. The cops in Charlottesville did nothing last year. So I guess they're over-preparing this year. I just hope it stays peaceful. You know, I understand people wanting to go out and confront these bigots, these racists, these white supremacists, these Nazis. But I'm more concerned with their health, and I'd love to see them be ignored, because you ignore them, they go away. They want the attention. They want the riots. They want that. And I understand the argument for either way. You can't let them get away with this shit. You got to confront them on it. Or, no, we're going to ignore them and act like they don't exist. And maybe they'll go away.
I live up here in Dulles. I live in Loudoun County in Dulles area. And, you know, I don't know what to do because I'm stuck up here.
Yeah.
I'm stuck, you know. The state is under state of emergency.
Wow.
And I said, you know, listen, either they got to clean this up or we're going to start cleaning some office people out. Cause this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I'll tell you.
Second year in a row.
Yep. One other thing. If something bad does happen again, if it comes to blows like it did last year and Donald Trump trots out his old "there are good people on both sides" bullshit, I don't think people are going to take it as easily as they did last year. I think it's going to get really ugly.
I hope it doesn't, but like I said, you know, down in that community down there in Charlottesville. I was born and raised down there. You know, it's been such a liberal city, and they've been trying to clean it up, but they haven't cleaned it up better enough. I mean, the tensions are much higher now than they were before.
Wow. Yeah, but most of the people who came in, they weren't from Charlottesville. Charlottesville, it's a college town, right? It is a pretty liberal town. Most of the people who came in to march came in from all over the country.
But where it really got started, from what I've been hearing from back home, it started at the University of Virginia in those frat houses.
Huh.
In the fraternities, that's where these people are mainly going to recruit.
Wow!
And the guy that started it went to University of Virginia himself, and he was a former Democrat.
Wow! Yeah,
and an Obama supporter twice.
God. Unbelievable!
So this person that's running that thing down there, this guy, even some of the rights I've been reading in newspapers, some of the people in the elements in the movement. They're kind of skeptical about him because they're not kind of looking at him now as an opportunist.
Right.
He's using them. And, you know, like just like Donald Trump and Laura Ingraham, they're all using this element to empower and enrich themselves. They don't care about these people. They're only caring about maintaining their power and getting a white slave to bow down to them saying, yes, sir, master, you're the greatest thing in them. You're the greatest thing since sliced bread. They want allegiance from those that are classified as white.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There are a lot of us white people who are disgusted by all that. Ryan, did I just lose you? I think we lost Ryan. Okay. Ryan, thank you for the call. It's a great way to start off the show because I did want to talk about what's going to be going on this weekend. All I can say is what I said last year. Please be safe. I know our pal Shalel in the chat room lives in Charlottesville. Last year, he wisely, I think, stayed inside. Be safe. That's number one. You know, something's got to happen to these racists, these bigots. I wish they would just, you know, go up in flames in one giant circle jerk and you know, knock each one of them out. And we stay out of it and rise above it. Though I know that's impossible. How do you look at blatant bigotry and racism and ignore it? There's a lot at stake. So I sympathize with you. I just ask that you please stay safe. All right. Let's get to the rest of the news of the day, shall we? We're going to do it live.
I read the news today.
Oh boy, there is a lot going on.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
A federal judge yesterday threatened to hold Attorney General Jeff Sessions in contempt after learning the Trump administration attempted to transfer a woman and her daughter out of the country while an appeals hearing for their deportation was underway. MSNBC's Nicole Wallace and Jacob Soboroff have more.
Tell us about this family. Where are they? How are they? And are they coming back?
They could very well, actually, Nicole, as I'm talking to you right now, be in the air from Texas to El Salvador. And when this family lands in El Salvador, they're going to get back on another plane, or the plane literally will be turned around per the judge's orders and head back to the United States. The larger story here, the context is, this was a case that was brought by the ACLU with eight plaintiffs in Washington, D.C., challenging the attorney general's much stricter rules and regulations for actually claiming asylum now if you want to stay in the United States. And that involves no longer being able to bring claims as you once were with regard to domestic violence and gang violence. Some of the main drivers that people flee places like El Salvador and Honduras and Guatemala to come to the United States for. And so to hear this judge today, I didn't actually listen into the case, but to read the transcript, to read what he said. And in fact, I want to just read you a little bit of it. He said, in its rush to deport as many immigrants as possible, the Trump administration is putting these women and children in grave danger of being raped, beaten, or killed. And he quite literally said to the government, get these people back here as soon as you can. You can't deport plaintiffs in the middle of a case when we're adjudicating this rule in the first place.
Tell us if this judge, is this the first time I was reading from the transcript as well. He said this is pretty outrageous. His name is U.S. District Judge Emmett G. Sullivan.
That's right.
And just to pick up on just his personal reaction, I'm not happy about this at all. This is not acceptable. I mean, is he an outlier? Has this been the reaction in other cases that have ended up before federal judges?
No, actually, it hasn't. Nicole, it's a great question. Dana Sabraw, who's adjudicating the Miss L case, which is the case about family separations here in California, just last week called the government's plan, or lack of a plan, I guess we should say, to reunite the remaining 572 kids that were separated from their parents by the Trump administration, quote unquote, unacceptable. And quite literally, in an hour and 15 minutes from now, we're expecting the government to file, because the judge ordered them in a separate case, a new point person to reunite the remaining 572 kids that are still out there.
Amazing.
Over 2 months after we first got inside those facilities down in South Texas and got a look at what the separated kids have gone through. And I just want to be really clear, these eight plaintiffs in this case were not separated from their parents, but ultimately when the judge decides whether or not the asylum claims, the new asylum claim and the guidelines that Jeff Sessions has put through are suitable, it could affect everybody that claims asylum, including separated families.
Yeah, the Trump administration is letting its racism color everything. It's from the White House, spreading out. There are still two unresolved contests from Tuesday's primary and special elections. In the Republican primary for governor in Kansas, Secretary of State Kris Kobach his lead over incumbent Governor Jeff Collier dwindled after election officials discovered a mistake in the tally. Interesting how that happens. As Secretary of State, Kobach oversees the vote counting. Understand? The governor called on him to step aside. Kobach, late last night during an interview on CNN, finally said that he would remove himself from the counting process while the Republican primary outcome hangs in the balance. And he made excuses. I was going to play you a clip of him, but screw that. We don't need to hear Kris Kobach talking. So Kansas is still counting absentee and provisional ballots, and the race remains too close to call. The state has until August 20th. To finish. The other race that's still too close to call is the House special election in Ohio's 12th district, although the Republican Troy Balderson is expected to hold on to that very red district that's been in GOP hands for the past 35 years. Balderson leads the Democrat Danny O'Connor by just over 1,000 votes, less than 1%. The state is still counting absentee and provisional ballots. And if the margin shrinks to a half a percentage point or less, it'll trigger an automatic recount. Either way, Republicans don't think the race should have been this close and are panicking over what it means for their election prospects in November. Now, remember, these two go on the ballot again in November. This election, the special election, is just to fill this seat for these 3 months. So they go up against each other on November 6th again. All right, Stephen Colbert covered this, but let's do it again just for the hell of it.
My administration is reclaiming America's heritage as the world's greatest spacefaring nation. We very well may soon have the Space Force. You've been hearing about
that. Such a moron.
And we're actually thinking of a sixth, and that would be the Space Force.
The Space Force.
Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
The Space Force, Jenny.
You
probably
moron.
Haven't even heard that. I'm just telling you now.
Oh, my God. What an idiot. Mike Pence yesterday outlined the administration's goal of creating a sixth branch of the U.S. military by 2020, known as the Space Force.
As President Trump has said, in his words, it is not enough to merely have an American presence in space. We must have American dominance in space.
Oh, God.
And so we will.
I can't wait till these people are out of office.
And that's precisely why we're beginning the process of establishing the Space Force as the sixth branch of our armed forces. Just as in the past when we created the Air Force, establishing the Space Force is an idea whose time has come. The space environment has fundamentally changed in the last generation. What was once peaceful and uncontested is now crowded and adversarial. Today, other nations are seeking to disrupt our space-based systems and challenge American supremacy in space as never before. Now the time has come to write the next great chapter in the history of our armed forces, to prepare for the next battlefield, where America's best and bravest will be called to deter and defeat a new generation of threats to our people, to our nation. The time has come to establish the United States Space Force.
You notice how they don't ask how we're going to pay for it. They only ask how we're going to pay for things when it comes to, educating our kids, feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, health care, giving health care as a basic human right. That they say we can't afford. But a space force, They're talking about $12 billion to get it started. Give me a fucking break. Day 8 of the Paul Manafort trial began with the judge apologizing in open court for scolding prosecutors the day before.
In a trial that has seen no shortage of drama, another stunning development from day 8 of the Paul Manafort fraud trial. And it has nothing to do with the president's former campaign chairman or fraud, for that matter. This is about the judge and his behavior. Prosecutors filed a motion in court today requesting that Judge T.S. Ellis go on the record and tell the jury that he was wrong for an outburst yesterday. A short time ago, the judge did just that, saying he's human. CNN's Shimon Prokipes is joining me now with much more on this. Shimon, it is not every day that a federal judge admits that he's wrong from the bench. What is this all about?
No, it's not. And it's not every day that, you know, you have a judge who continues to be so hard on prosecutors. This all stems from something that happened yesterday. The prosecution had a witness that they called. It was an IRS expert who happened to be sitting in the courtroom through the trial. When they called that witness, and that witness said that they had been sitting in the courtroom during the entire trial, the judge scolded the prosecutors essentially for that, for allowing this witness to sit there through this trial, listening to other witnesses testifying. And then the prosecutors reminded the judge that it was his own permission. They had asked him for permission to do so, and he allowed it. And then this morning, as you said, they went ahead and they filed a motion with the court requesting that he apologize to them and to the jury. See, the issue here, Kate, really is that this was all happening in front of the jury, and certainly their perception of what they're seeing by the way the judge is reacting to this could affect their ultimate decision. And that is why the prosecutors wanted the judge this morning to apologize, which he did. You know, this judge is quickly becoming the story in this case. It just continues to go after prosecutors. And just a reminder, this is the same judge who went after the special counsel in bringing this case. The idea that perhaps, you know, he was suggesting that they were only doing this to go after Paul Manafort to get him to cooperate.
You know, this this whole thing, Robert Hill in the chat room said, oh, fuck, is this the opening for Manafort's appeal? No, the judge has been tough on the prosecution, has been favoring the defense. So and you know, what sucks is that if it were the other way around, the defense could appeal. The prosecution can't appeal if they lose. But that's what's going on there. Apparently there was some issue with one of the jurors today, and they had a 3-hour recess, but they're back and back into testimony, and the prosecution is expected to wrap up their case today. All right, and it continues. Back to the racism theme. Remember Omarosa, the Apprentice contestant who Donald Trump then brought into the White House? Well, she's got a book coming out. I know, you're so shocked. And she says Donald Trump is a racist. What a shocker that is. She claims three unnamed sources told her there are tapes from the president's NBC days that record him using the N-word repeatedly. In her new book, obtained ahead of its release by The Guardian, she says she believes the rumors but never heard him say the word herself. She claims that she did witness Trump using other racial slurs about George Conway, the half-Filipino husband of Kellyanne Conway. She quotes the president as saying, would you look at this George Conway article? Fucking flip, disloyal, fucking goo-goo. She writes that during her time in the White House, she felt a, quote, growing realization that Donald Trump was indeed a racist, a bigot, and a misogynist. Took you that long to figure it out, huh? She continues, my certainty about the N-word tape and his frequent uses of that word were the top of a high mountain of truly appalling things I'd experienced with him during the last 2 years in particular. Okay. Oh, call me Trip in the chat room says we have a term for her. Omarosa is an opportunist. Okay. I would not say that. You can say that because Trip happens to be black. I would never use that word, but I'm just quoting you. And yesterday, last night, apparently was the first night of preseason games in the NFL. And, oh, well, some football players disobeyed hair leaders' orders. Several NFL players raised their fists or took a knee during the national anthem at preseason games last night, reigniting the social justice protests that provoked the wrath of Trump last season. Philadelphia Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins, who had promised this week that players would soon let their stance be known on the league's new anthem policy, raised his fist, along with cornerback Devontae Bosby. Jenkins and other Eagles players wore a T-shirt during pregame warmups that read, quote, "More than 60% of prison populations are people of color, and nearly 5,000 kids are in adult prisons and jails." Good for them. Several Miami Dolphins players also joined in the protest, with defensive end Robert Quinn raising a fist as wide receivers Kenny Stills and Albert Wilson both took a knee. The renewed protests come just weeks after the league sowed confusion by initially vowing to fine teams with players who protest, only to backtrack on that new policy and announce it would work with the NFL Players Association to reach an agreement on the matter. Trump himself, he renewed his attacks on NFL players who protest during the anthem, claiming they wanted to show their outrage at something that most of them are unable to define. "They know full well what they're protesting, asshole. And maybe if you paid some attention, you'd learn that they're protesting rampant racism. They're protesting cops killing innocent, mostly black men, but black women, too. They know exactly what they're protesting. You're the only idiot who doesn't read and doesn't understand the inherent bigotry among your administration and the police these days." And finally, although the president seems to be on a mission to end immigration, especially family reunification, which is what he calls chain migration, that's exactly how Melania Trump's parents yesterday became U.S. citizens. Hypocrisy much? Oh, yeah, one more thing. It's primary season. Tomorrow, Hawaii votes. Hawaii, you vote in your primary tomorrow. On a Saturday, go figure. And Tuesday, we've got Connecticut, Minnesota, Vermont, and Wisconsin all going to the polls to vote. Wisconsin, they've got Randy Bryce, who could take Paul Ryan's seat. And that would just be such sweet revenge. It really would. All right. We'll take a break a very quick break and come back on the other side with Juliana Forlano. There's so much more to talk about, and it's more enjoyable to do that with someone who makes me laugh. So we'll do that in just a moment. Don't go away. I'm Nicole Sandler at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky?
But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
And just to explain further how it works, you go to NicoleSandler.com, look for where it says Amazon portal. It's in a few places on that main homepage. Click on that. Use that to go into Amazon. It looks just like a regular Amazon page, except that anything you buy through that, I get a small commission on. And every penny helps. Seriously. Okay, let's do it.
Live from New York, it's Juliana Furlano, star of Absurdity Today.
What's that? Oh, not Absurdity Today.
That is to say, Juliana Furlano of WBAI. No, not that one either. Juliana Furlano of, this one says Act TV. Oh, forget it. Let's just say Nicole Sandler brings you Juliana Furlano. Her name hasn't changed, has it?
Still makes me laugh every time I hear it. Hey, Juliana Forlano of Act.TV. You are doing a lot of work for them these days, aren't you?
Oh, my God. You know, we cover protests and rallies, and it's high season for protests and rallies.
Mm-hmm. You also went to Netroots Nation. Did you do that as representing Act.TV?
We did. I went to Netroots Nation with Act.TV, and we had a booth on the media row, and then they had another booth with another project that they're doing to try to get people to promise to register and, you know, get their friends to vote in the, you know, November election.
Uh-huh.
Because, as I learned, which you might already know, this whole election is really about turnout, and if 3/4 of the people who voted in the Trump/Hillary contest a few years back come out and vote, then Democrats will win. So that's a kind of it's called blue wave voters, and it's a turn out the vote project mm-hmm. of with, you know, in conjunction with ACT TV. But we got to interview a whole bunch of people, and you were very missed on the media row. There were a lot of people who I really enjoy seeing every year and I look forward to, and they weren't there, and neither were you, and I'm bummed.
Yeah, I miss being there. I always enjoyed, doing the broadcast from Netroots Nation. It got really clicky. And
it's very clicky.
Yeah, and that bugs me. And that plus the fact that I just can't afford it these days. So it wasn't really a choice.
I know.
If I could have afforded it, I probably would have gone. I mean, there was a great lineup this year. Elizabeth Warren was back. I heard she did a lovely tribute to our dear friend Joel Silberman, who passed away last week.
And it was wonderful. Yes.
What else? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was there. How was she?
She was fantastic. She's a great speaker. She had the distinct honor of going up after some of the folks who, spoke up about the lack of inclusion of, local people of color in the planning process. So there was sort of a disruption on that front. And she was wonderful. She said, yes, we definitely need to do this. And she kind of gave props to the people who stood up and made their voices heard. I honestly was not in there for the part where there was the disruption. I was in the ladies, let me tell you. And I missed the whole drama. So, what can you do? Nature calls, you know?
Yep.
I heard Ocasio speak, and she is a really moving speaker. I mean, there were some really great speakers there. The mayor, first of all, they started it off with a Native American elder who sang and played a drum, the Native American drum. And it was a lengthy performance, and it was a welcome, which I thought was a really wonderful, was basically permission from the Native Americans, which is basically their land upon which this convention center was built, to start. So I thought that was wonderful, the inclusion of not just sort of Black people of color or Latinos of color, but also Native Americans, which tend to kind of get overlooked in some of our discussions sometime. Also, the thing was in New Orleans,
yes.
And the Working Families Party, they hired like a giant brass marching band with people dancing with feathers, and those people and all the Working Families people, Joe Dinkin and all those guys, were just dancing through the convention center. And then they went into, the space where the tables usually are, where the speakers are on the stage, and they went around, and they were not fooling around. This was super New Orleans, use of talent. And it was just really something very different than what I was used to in Netroots, which is sort of celebratory and nice to be together, but also a little more, underplayed. This was like ladies in headdresses and
that's New Orleans.
Drumming, it was really something.
That's New Orleans, wonderful. Right? I've never been to New Orleans, and one of these days I'd like to get there. It would have been cool.
You want to go when there's not a convention. I mean, most of the time we were in the convention center. So
that's true.
It's probably, we did go outside at night, and it was the convention center was placed conveniently near where there were several opportunities to see really great music. But you couldn't really go further afield. So. Yeah. We also, the mayor of New Orleans, LaToya Cantrell, woman of color, recently elected. Good Lord, she killed it. She came out and she just killed it. Her speech was really moving. And I really think she's someone to watch. She was just, she was basically just came into office and is hoping to clean up some of the graft that is endemic to, I guess, our whole country, but New Orleans specifically.
Right.
Yeah. So that was really
cool. Now, the Democrats who are rumored to be thinking about running in 2020 were there. I mentioned Elizabeth Warren. Was Kamala Harris there?
Yes, I believe she was. I did not see her. But there was rumors of a Kamala Harris attendee. Cory Booker was there.
Cory Booker, right.
Not a lot of the people who are Democrats who are not a lot of the people who are Democrats who are sort of unpopular with the progressive movement right now were there. Uh-huh. In fact, half of New York City's electeds and soon to be electeds were there. And I was thinking, God, I came all the way to New Orleans to
see that's
Bill
interesting.
De Blasio.
Bill De Blasio was there.
Out of my gym. The YMCA with me.
That's interesting.
But yeah, a lot of people, you know, from the Northeast came down. And, it, you know, to me, it felt like there was less media there. There was no Daily Co- there was a very little showing of Daily Kos, which everyone, of course, knows is was the roots of Netroots Nation reach back to being a yearly Kos.
Right.
And, you know, Netroots was part of Daily, and now they're separate.
Right.
But I saw a few staff members, but no real presence with the booth.
They had a falling out. They had a falling out a year or two ago about something having to do, I don't know, with the politics.
Going to Arizona, I think.
To Arizona was the issue. You're exactly right. Yep.
They didn't want to go because of the immigration policy.
Right, because of the show us your papers, please, Bill. And people were boycotting Arizona. And that's why.
Right.
That's right. I remember that.
There was no Huffington Post. There was no the Young Turks. There was no Sam Cedar was there, but really there was no big sort of Ring of Fire posters.
Uh-huh.
Progressive Voices Radio didn't have much of a showing.
Really?
Free Speech TV was there. Sirius XM was there. We were there. Josh Holland from The Nation with his podcast was there.
Right.
So it was very different. It really felt like more of an activist convention than a media convention.
Right.
So definitely turn the corner on that.
Okay.
And, you know, there were also a number of people who were sort of insurgents running. We had, I got a chance to speak to Kevin DeLeon, who is running against Senator Dianne Feinstein in California. Boy.
I hear he's great.
Powerhouse.
Yeah.
I love that guy. I hope he wins. I mean,
it's not going to, but it would be great if he did.
No, but just having him out there speaking, it's sort of another Bernie moment where even if, you know, just to kind of get the conversation out in the world, instead of just being kind of behind closed doors. I asked him about immigration when I was interviewing him, and I asked him a question that I never hear anyone talking about. But if you've seen Harvest of Empire by Juan Gonzalez, it's a documentary about the U.S. foreign policy in these nations that are, you know, now having such trouble. And most of our immigrants are coming from there, the ones fleeing and the ones seeking asylum. So I asked him about, could we have a foreign policy solution to the immigration crisis? And he answered me. And I didn't bait him into saying, you know, we kind of screwed these countries and we are now reaping what we've sown with the people coming up, and could we just, you know, stop screwing or unscrew them? That's what the question was about. And he just embraced the question. And that's very unusual. You know, he basically admitted that, yes, the U.S. has done some horrible foreign policy things there that have really contributed to the destabilization of governments and the current crises, the violence and all that stuff that people are facing. And I was like, oh, my God, no one ever says that. I've never heard Nancy Pelosi say that.
Right.
I've never heard anyone in power say anything like that. So it was just really refreshing that he would be so candid. And just to kind of get that message out there, I thought was great.
Yep.
Also, he said it was a good question. So the hairs on the back of my neck stood up because I was like, oh, yay, it was a good question. He thought it was a good question.
Yay. So, wait, so you mentioned a Cory Booker. I hear you had a Cory Booker moment.
I did. I did what I call ambush journalism, which is I ambushed him in the hallway and I asked him for an interview and he came over. And as you know, Cory Booker is very tall. So I'm holding the microphone and I'm holding it for 8 straight minutes as we converse with my arm up in the air. And boy, that was hard. I was like, breathe. Breathe, it's burning my arm. So first of all, there was that. But Cory Booker actually, you know, I asked him the question that, you know, if you know ACT TV, we're very much movementarians, as we like to call ourselves. We're certainly on the left. We're certainly progressive. But a lot of what ACT TV does came out of the Occupy Wall Street movement. So
right.
We have our questions about Cory Booker in terms of him accepting money from the pharmaceutical industry and sort of being in the pocket of pharmaceutical industry.
Yep.
So I was talking to him, and I wanted him to actually answer this question without grimacing and running. And so I asked him, you know, he was talking about keeping prescription drug prices down. And I'm like, well, you know, many of our prescription drug companies are in your state. What are you going to do to make sure there's no conflict of interest between keeping, you know, prescription drug prices down and your work as a senator?
Yeah.
And he said that he was not going to take any more corporate funds. And I was really surprised.
Yeah. Well, that. Because he was shamed into it. You know, the kicker would be if he'd give back all the corporate donations he's already taken.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, I mean, I know you can say I'm not taking corporate donations and then take donations from a guy who works at a corporation.
Sure.
I'm no babe in the woods.
Right.
But the fact that the shaming worked or is working to at least get into their lip service, hopefully it will trickle into their actual policies and maybe we can hold their feet to the fire. I mean, if they're not just dyed in the wool progressives willing to work for campaign finance reform and willing to be, you know, responsive to the people, we can maybe hold them to that. And the fact that he's willing to go there because of our shame, I think says something about what's happening on this side of the street.
Right. You know, good for you. Yeah. Netroots Nation is the left. I mean, it's a Democratic gathering, but the people who go there are generally much more on the progressive side. These are the people who support Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You will find more Democratic socialists rather than, you know, the conservadems. You're not going to find many blue dogs or new Dems hanging out at Netroots Nation. It's just that's not their audience. That's not their thing. That would be a DNC gathering, not a Netroots Nation. You wrote a piece that's up at Democrats.com called Republicans Think They're Smearing Dems by Calling Ocasio-Cortez Their New Standard Bearer. They're using it like that's like an insult.
Yeah. You know, I was watching CNN the other day and just, you know, for kicks.
Yes.
And I was watching the Cuomo show.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And he had on Van Jones and this other guy. He's always on there. He's a white talking head.
Yep.
I'm forgetting his name.
David Urban.
Yeah, that's the guy. So he, you know, that Republican threw down the idea that, you know, Ocasio-Cortez is the new standard bearer for your party. And he threw it at Van Jones like it was a slur. And I'm watching thinking, yeah, that, yes, we would like that. She is calling for Medicaid for all.
Medicare for all.
Exactly.
Yes.
So the problem that I saw with that was that Van Jones basically rolled his eyes.
Right.
And I'm like, no, Van Jones, no. No, Van Jones.
Yeah, Van Jones is one of the, you know, he would hang with the third way crowd. He would hang with the New Dems and the Blue Dogs. Van Jones is one of those both-siderisms. He tries to make peace with the Trumpies and, you know, he doesn't want to offend anyone. That's my problem with Van Jones.
Yeah, you know, maybe if he just started hanging out with us also,
uh-huh.
That, you know, he could swirl in the message of the left along with the other messages that he's going out. But that eye roll and the fact that he's the one who is standing up and supposedly speaking for, it's like a right wing guy attacking a left guy who's really in the center.
Right.
You know,
right.
And this is the part that I thought was really funny. So they're basically saying Ocasio-Cortez, she's a socialist. She's a communist. And the left, you know, don't vote with them because it's communism on the one hand. And on the other hand, they're talking about how Russia's OK. Maybe we should hang out with Russia. Russia's probably fine. I don't know how Republicans can make these points without. I guess because no one's listening. You know, they're not paying attention.
Right.
They're not drawing that parallel that's, you know, those two things are at odds.
Because facts don't matter in Republican world. Facts don't matter. That's all.
Oh, God.
In Republican world, they make shit up. And facts just don't matter. It's the post-truth era. I mean, you read the things about how many times a day Trump lies. I think he's stayed out of the public I, while he's been at his Bedminster golf course for the last 10 days or so, to bring down the average of how many times a day he's lying.
That's funny.
Thank you.
That's probably true.
I just came up with that. Yes, he's trying to bring the average down because it was up to like 7.6 times a day or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure you talked to this woman on your show, but I was able to talk to Lori Wallach from the Global Trade.
Yeah, from Public Citizen. Yeah, Global Trade.
Public Citizen. Yep. She's great. Oh boy, she can really put a complicated thing into simple terms. And one of the things that she said was some of the things that Trump is actually, now this was disturbing to me, and I had to ask her the question right after that everyone, after I say this, will be asking. She said some of the things that Trump is doing is what the left actually wanted on trade, like not having the interstate dispute resolution thing in there, mm-hmm. and a couple of other things.
Well, getting out of the TPP.
Right.
Except so the problem is he doesn't know what he's doing. That's the problem.
Yeah. I said, well, how do we say, okay, well, these things are good, but how do we get rid of them if we admit that some of the things that he's doing could be, you know, are things that the left would actually want in this area of trade? And she said, well, first of all the things he's doing with the tax policy are going to undermine are so much worse for the working class and middle class that's going to undermine the gains that he makes over here on the left, on trade. She also said that she quoted Richard Trumka, who had said that, you know, in order to fix these problems, we're going to have some short term pain in order for long term gain, and pointed to the issue with the farmers and how they're getting a bailout, et cetera. Or at least a 1-year bailout. I think they're going to need it more than then.
Yep.
More than that.
But the difference is those are the people that voted for Trump. They're the ones that he was supposed to be helping, and he's winding up hurting them. And I know, some of them are sticking with him, but some of them are really pissed.
I hope so. I said, how are we going to, you know, and she said, Lori said that there's some good things. If we can get back the House and we can get back the presidency, there will be some good things that progressives can actually build on coming from his trade policy. But anything that is good is so far outweighed by the things that he's doing that are horrible, either in trade or in other areas, that, you know, then. So there was a slight glimmer of hope on the horizon for all of the horrible things he is doing. If we can get him out before climate change, you know, gets us all.
I think we're beyond that. I think we're beyond that. I mean, the fires and the whole planet is burning. I mean, if you look at California, now I lived in California for almost 15 years. There used to be a fire season, which comes late summer, early fall, when the Santa Ana winds start blowing. That's when the heat really picks up. It's like September. Is fire season. This stuff that's been burning, this is before, it's not even fire season in California yet. Now they're saying there is no more fire season. Now it's going to be a year-round thing. The planet is burning.
Yes, it's not good.
And that's why
I don't have the details, I believe the ICCC came out with a new study saying that the people who were, basically the people who were branded as like climate nuts, saying all of the sea level rise is going to happen, and just on the ones saying that it's worse than we're allowing ourselves to think about.
Uh-huh.
Well, that they're basically right. The new results are in.
They are right. This is happening faster than it was predicted, and more what's the word I'm looking for?
Intensely.
Yes, more intensely. I mean, I'm really afraid for the future. I mean, I know you've got a little girl. How old is she now?
She is 2 and almost a half years old.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
she's adorable,
really quite
by
scary.
The way.
Her whole life, I have no idea how to picture and how do I make sure she's ready for it.
Yeah,
you know, if society collapses, I don't think her going to college is going to be such a big deal.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, so, if colleges are even standing anymore, I mean, buildings are burning. I really worry about the future for our kids. I mean, my kid is 19, and I'm afraid for her future.
Of course, yeah, Yeah, they're going to. Well, on the plus side, I did go to a youth climate march with my coverage with ACT-TV, and these are not your millennials. That this next generation is out there. They're all pretty much active. The Parkland students really both sparked the ability for people to move, to be movement, you know, part involved in the movement at a young age, and they also just were on the crest of that already happening. And I remember when I grew up, I was having this conversation with someone my own age. When I grew up, I was like, I care about the environment. Is there a group already done? Now, you just go online, you start a group, there's a group, you're a group, yep. And then your group can go with other groups. You can really just get started and do something from the jump. You know, and these kids are going to, they're going to their state legislatures. They're asking for, caps on carbon, promises, this and that. They're not just marching in the street with signs. Right. They're really actually, you know, applying themselves both to the political process. One of the criticisms a friend of mine had said, do they know that the government's not going to protect or save them? I'm like, I don't think they know that yet, but, you know.
Well, if we change,
they still need to lobby.
If we change the government, and hopefully they'll be active in changing the government so that they will, you know, do the right things. It's just like it's the kids from Parkland. They didn't stop after marches. And I mean, they're going around the country and talking to people in different states. That's what they did all summer and lobbying Congress to do something about the gun laws.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And they haven't stopped. They haven't given up. And they've also partnered with the other groups, which, you know, I think that's really wonderful. They're not staying in their own sort of lane. They're saying, oh, there's other groups who have been laying the groundwork for this. You know, every town for gun safety, the people from the elementary school that was shot up, all, you know, there's a lot.
Sandy Hook. Yeah. And,
yeah.
It's
Ooh,
scary times.
So much going on.
I know there is a lot going on. And then this happened yesterday. Kanye West, was on Jimmy Kimmel's show. I don't know if you heard this, but this was too funny. I just got to play this for you. This happened last night. Oh, hold on. I got it.
You so famously and so powerfully said George Bush doesn't care about black people. It makes me wonder what makes you think that Donald Trump does, or any people at all. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back.
And he had no answer. He just sat there. He like dumbfounded. He had no answer, which I just thought was
you're
perfect.
Like, okay, we're gonna take a break and
Yeah,
that is. I mean, I don't get it. Why Kanye would do would. I just don't understand.
Well, I don't understand.
I don't think he, clearly he doesn't understand. So I guess we're all in it together.
I guess. So what's your prediction, Juliana Forlano? Do you think Donald Trump is going to, I'll give you a few parter here. Will he serve out his first term? Will he run for reelection? And the really scary one is, if he does, will he win?
I don't think he's going to serve out his first term.
No,
I think they're either going to get him on the emoluments clause, because there is a lawsuit going through the courts about that. And the Mueller investigation is doing its thing. Mm-hmm. I really hope that hurries up and has the end that I'm hoping for before he's able to sort of do, more damage than he's already doing. And we're all kind of focused on MSNBC. They're all focused on kind of Russia 24 hours a day. And I think sometimes we're missing some of the terrible things that he's doing that we could be organizing around. So we don't want to let him off the hook for colluding with a foreign power. But we also don't want to forget that he's doing things here now while we're all paying attention to that collusion.
Horrible things every day. I mean,
every day.
I'm sorry. The Space Force is just absurd. We have no money for health care. We have no money to feed hungry children or house, you know, the homeless. But we're going to build a Space Force? Are you fucking kidding me?
He just doesn't understand anything about people and connecting and any of that. He's just, look at his relationships with his wives and his children. He doesn't have the thing that makes you understand that you live in this world with other people, and the best part of that is connecting with them.
Yeah,
he doesn't get any
of
that.
He doesn't have that human connection.
Super capitalist, and he thinks the best part of this world is building another building that looks like a giant phallus on, you know, an ancient burial ground. That's his whole thing. So he's not really someone you'd want in power.
No.
Well, you know.
No, we got to get rid
of
him.
We'll get rid of him.
Let's get rid of him. Okay, that sounds good. Juliana Forlano, find her on Twitter at Juliana Forlano. Find her at act.tv. Find her writing at democrats.com. I'll put up links to all this stuff. And there's also julianaforlano.com.
Thank you so much, Nicole. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. It's always great to talk to you, too. We need to do
Keep
it more
up all
often.
The good work.
I'll talk to you later. Take
talk
care.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Have a great weekend, everyone.